Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
If you're taking notes today, we're talking about manipulation. We're looking at ways to identify a controlling spirit. The first thing we looked at was domination. Last week and the week before, we looked at intimidation, and today we're going to talk about manipulation. Manipulation. We've got seven or eight of these things that we're going to look at. One that I'm excited about is exaggeration. You ever met anybody that exaggerated things just so that they could take over the conversation? So that'll help everybody, especially when we begin to talk about the use of the words always and never. And this is really going to help some marriages. Amen. So stay tuned. But today we're going to talk about manipulation. I want to look again at Ephesians chapter 4, where verse 15 tells us to speak the truth in love. That means I can speak the truth and not compromise love, and I can tell the and I can walk in love and not compromise truth. So neither have to be compromised in our lives, and neither should be compromised in our lives. Speak the truth in love. We go down in the same chapter to verse number 22, and it says that we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the way we used to live, the stuff we used to do, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Put off the old and put on the new, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, let's focus in on verse 25. I'll read all the way to verse 27, but notice, I may read a little further, but notice verse number 25. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What does that mean, we are members one of another? Well, the Spirit of God is authoring a word here that goes to this church at Ephesus, which is a church body. But every letter, every epistle written to a church deals with the individual of that church. This is not just written for a church, because by the time you get to the fifth chapter, he's talking about marriage. And by the time you get to the sixth chapter, he's talking about children. So this is a word for everybody in all walks of life. But the point of verse number 25 is that when I'm lying and I'm not walking in truth, it affects the community that I'm a part of. It affects my marriage. It affects my family. It affects my community. It affects my relationships. It affects more than just me. So he's saying there's an importance to speak the truth to your neighbor, because we're all doing this together. We're all a part of the same community. Therefore, put away lying. And in light of us all being members of the same community or family, etc., he says in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. So just because you got mad, don't let that justify sin, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then verse 27 says, read out loud, neither give place to the devil. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan is the father of lies. That he is the author, he is the originator of a lie. And when I'm lying and I'm being dishonest and manipulative, I'm giving place to the devil in my life, because he is the first manipulator we find in the Bible when he shows up questioning Eve with these tricky questions about how many trees she can eat of. And so he's a deceiver and he's a manipulator. And when you and I start lying and we get manipulative, we begin to side with the kingdom of darkness, and that's what I'm hoping will be exposed in this study today. So he goes on to say in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And here's another focus in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, which means encouraging and building up, that it may give grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. So I want us to talk about manipulation. And if you would, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, manipulation. Here's the definition. One of the definitions I found of manipulation is to control or influence for one's own advantage. When I'm manipulating another person, trying to control another person for my own advantage, I'm going to manipulate you so my life can be better. That's evil. And I'm going to just tell you this up front. We likely are all guilty of this, let me say it this way, at least once. All right? Where we have manipulated a situation or we've manipulated a person because it was to our advantage that they be manipulated. But this never makes any relationship healthy. You cannot have healthy friendships and healthy relationships when manipulation is involved. I was speaking to our chapel this past Wednesday here at our upper school, which is on this campus, 7th through 12th graders, and I was telling them, don't make friends for the sake of an enemy. Don't make friends for the sake of an enemy, which means you've got somebody you don't like, likely because you're jealous of. So many times, enemies start out with people we're jealous of. Jealousy tends to lead to envy. And then envy leads to all types of sin. The first murder in the Bible happened because Cain murdered his brother Abel because he was envious. Envy is not just jealous of what another person has. Envy says, I will destroy you because you have what I should have, or you have what I want. And I don't like it that you have it, so I'm going to destroy you. And so in when you talk about relationships where you have an enemy, maybe it's somebody you're jealous of. And I'm speaking to our school-age students here today. Not that this won't affect adults, but listen to me, youth. God's not called you to go make friends for the sake of building an alliance against a common enemy. The motive behind my friendships should not be common enemies, because that in itself is manipulative. And if we can just get manipulation out of our life, our relationships are going to be healthier, and they're going to be honorable, they're going to be true, and they're going to be lasting. And any of us that have lived for a moment have already discovered that when your relationships are not right, your life is not right. That really the health of our life is based on the health of our relationships. So if we can get all this toxic mess out of the way we do life, we can have healthy relationships. But you can't have a healthy marriage when you're using toxic methods. And manipulation is a toxic method to lead your home, or to lead a friendship, or to even lead your family. It's a toxic method when pastors use manipulation to control their churches. Wherever you put it, it still is not right. It's not right. Okay, so it needs to be exposed. Because our world is filled with manipulation. Why? Because people, since the fall of man, like controlling folk. And we've got to get out of this mindset that it's our responsibility to control other people. It is not my responsibility to control anybody. My responsibility is to start with me and deal with me. And I got enough going on with me, I don't have time to try to control somebody else. I'm having a hard enough time controlling me. Amen. So watch this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and when you get there, just say amen. And we'll look at it down in verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. He says, and don't marvel, don't be amazed, don't be alarmed, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, Satan don't show up in your life, wearing some scaly red suit with a pitchfork and a long tail. If he showed up looking like the devil, I wouldn't let him in. But he shows up looking like somebody else, and therefore I let him in. But the point that I have in reading this is everybody that shows up in our life is not who they appear to be. And we don't want to be guilty of being something we're not by operating through manipulation, because there's enough people in this world that will manipulate us and transform themselves into someone they are not just for the sake of taking control. And what you will find in life, and I've got scriptural evidence of this, is that when people, oh, hear me now, when people don't have any authority in your life and they have no influence in your life, they will try to use somebody else's authority and somebody else's influence to control you. That's what Jezebel did over there in Kings, the 21st chapter, when she used her husband's name in 1 Kings 21 to get something that her husband wouldn't do on his own. And we looked at the story a few weeks ago where Ahab wanted to buy this land, but the guys that owned the land said, this land is not for sale. And he said, well, I'll trade you more land for it. He said, nope, this land is an inheritance of my father, and I won't part with it. And Ahab went home all sad because the man wouldn't sell him the land. And Jezebel said, wait a minute, you're the king. You're the king. What you mean you're sad because you can't have the land? And she went and got his name and his insignia stamp, and she wrote a letter herself and put Ahab's name on it and ended up having this innocent man killed just so she could get the land and give it to her husband. She wanted control, and she used somebody else's name and use someone else's influence to get it. And before you think that is uncommon in our world, it's not so uncommon, because the greatest name of any name is the name of Jesus. And the highest authority in heaven and earth is the name of Jesus. And there will be folk that will come up in our life and they'll use the name of Jesus and they'll lie on God just to control us. And we need to be able to recognize when somebody is trying to manipulate me, especially when they're doing so, quote, in the name of the Lord. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? And Jesus in his word has already warned us that there would be false prophets that would come in and try to manipulate us and deceive us. So here in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, he says, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He doesn't show up as he is. He shows up in a manipulated form to control us. Verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. If you would, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7. So the Word of God warns us that even prophets, even that come allegedly speaking for the Lord or for the Holy Spirit and use the name of Jesus, that there will be some that will use his name just to manipulate, just to control. And we as the body of Christ, and we as believers in Jesus, need to be able to discern and recognize, wait a minute, that's not God. Wait a minute, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have led you to do that. Wait a minute, that's not in line with the Word. God has given us enough truth to be able to stand against deception. Jesus in John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is truth. Hallelujah. John 17, verse 17 says that the Word of God is truth. Jesus is truth. His Word is truth. And in John 16, verse 13, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So with the Word of truth in my life, with Jesus, who is the truth in my life, and the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth in my life, we ought to be able to stand against manipulation and deception. If you think about it, those of you that have lived a minute, you have likely been manipulated by somebody, but during the process of engagement where that individual began to, you know, approach you and befriend you, and you had this ill feeling in your gut, and you know something on the inside of you was saying, be leery of this, but you stepped on into it anyway. How many folk do you know went into a relationship or a friendship or some type of partnership, and then later said, when that thing went south, some told me not to trust him. Some told me not to believe her. How many of y'all have ever said, some told me not to believe that person? Look at all the hands in the room. So we were manipulated. My hand is up. I've been manipulated. But that something that told me wasn't no just something. That was the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, saying, wait a minute, this doesn't line up with truth. This does not line up with truth. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that we ought to test the spirits to see whether or not they be of God, for false prophets have gone out into this world. And if I could be manipulated by a prophet who comes in the name of the Lord, then who else could I be manipulated by? And so Jesus, the good shepherd, warns us of such. So watch this in Matthew chapter 7. If you're there, say amen. And we'll look at it down in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Now don't think that the false prophet and the warning of the false prophet doesn't apply to other areas and other people and other roles. Because all a prophet technically is one that proposes to speak for God or to speak the word of God or uses the name of God. Beware of false prophets. Now notice how this is going to align with what we just read in 2 Corinthians 11. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So really they're a wolf, but they show up in sheep's clothing. They don't come as they are. They don't come showing all their cards. They don't come revealing who they are. They're coming in a pretense. They're coming falsely at us. It is a form of manipulation. And Jesus is saying, not everybody that comes looking like a sheep is a sheep. Now, with that in mind, come back with me to Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Now, my reason for sharing these scriptures is not so you can walk out of here and be schizophrenic. And then you spend the next 3 weeks alone in your room and you won't talk to anybody because you're worried somebody's going to manipulate you. No. We're going to do life. We're going to do life. And we're not going to worry about what other folk do. They're going to do them. We're going to do us. The purpose of this is so that we can, first of all, recognize when we're being manipulative and say, okay, that's not God. That's the tactic of the enemy. That's a tactic that's used in darkness. And I'm not going to be a manipulating person to get my way. God can get me what I need. God can take care of me without me using tactics of the enemy to get it. I can walk in honor, and I can walk in truth, and I can speak the truth, and the Lord will take care of me, and I don't have to get involved and use these dishonorable tactics to bring health to my life. That's so important that we understand that. We don't have to do all these things. And if I could just get, you know, a bunch of preachers in the room, I would talk about how we cannot allow manipulation to come out of a pulpit that has been designed for the preaching of the Word of God. Preachers have such a bad name, and I'm a preacher, but we have such a bad name because of manipulation. And we got to change that so that that's not the way preachers are known, that they would manipulate people just to get gain, manipulate people just to get money. And I'm a preacher, not just a preacher. I'm one that's on TV. Man, do you know what that does to my credibility? I mean, that makes it even worse. So I really got to be above reproach, because so many have used dishonorable ways to try to achieve something that would have been honorable by itself, but your tactic, the way you went about it, made the thing wrong. So let's look in Jeremiah 23, and we'll go down to verse number 16. We need to be able to recognize what's false. And you might say, but how? I'm telling you, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and by the name of Jesus, by relationship with Him. We can overcome manipulation and not allow folk to intimidate us and manipulate us for their own gain. And I'm telling you, our world is filled with it. The church world is filled with it, but it shouldn't be so. Watch this in Jeremiah 23, verse 16. You there, say amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. Read that out loud. They speak a vision of their own heart. What does this mean? There are going to be people, even in the body of Christ, they're going to come to us speaking a word, quote unquote, from the Lord, but it's in their own heart. It's not God's heart. It's their heart. And it's to their advantage that you listen. And we've got to be able to discern, wait a minute, did God say that or did you say that? Is this to the advantage of my life? Is this to my benefit that I follow this word? Is this going to bring God glory and advance his kingdom? Or does this just advantage? I'm going to skip that whole line altogether. Back to the text. I just can't seem to say it. Or is this to your advantage? There we go. They speak a vision of their own heart. Read the rest. And not out of the mouth of the Lord. Church, let me say this real quick. Christians, let me say this real quick. Let's be very respectful. And let's honor the name of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And be very cautious about telling people what the Holy Spirit told us to tell them. I've been scarred by that so much that if you come at me and your opening line is, the Lord told me to tell you, my red flag is already up. I'm already, okay, you better come with something then. Because you're coming in the name of my Lord, who I commune with nonstop all day, every day. I wake up talking to him. I go to bed talking to him. I drive down the road talking to him. Jesus ain't my Sunday thing. Jesus is my life. Hey, I said Jesus is not my Sunday thing. Jesus is my life. If you came to me and told me, Chrissy told me to tell you, hey, time out. Chrissy told you to tell me? I know that girl. So if you're going to come at me talking about the Lord told me to tell you, you better be shooting straight because I have a relationship with him and you're not going to just sell me on something that's to your advantage and he didn't tell you to say it. And I don't want to do that either. So, you know, I'm like, Lord, what if you put something on my heart that I really feel like it's on my heart to do or say? And I just feel like the Lord said, well, you just do it and you just say it. And if it's me, they're going to tell you it was me. So I'll just be me and pray the Lord influences me to say or do something, and I'm going to let you come back and say, man, that was God. I'm going to say, oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Then you said it was God, not me telling you this is God. Now, one thing you can rest assured of is that if this book is open, you know it's God. So it's important that we know what the Word of God has to say and that we not be timid about challenging what we're hearing against what is written. We need to know what is written. When Satan came and tried to manipulate Jesus in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, Jesus responded three times, it is written. Oh, it is written. Oh, it is written. And the Bible says that Satan left him once he kept declaring what was written. We have to know what is written in the Word of God because the truth of his Word is our defense. Amen. All right, let me finish this verse here. So he says that there'll be false prophets that will speak not from the Lord, but out of their own heart and not from the mouth of the Lord. Drop down to verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. So this prophet here, he said, don't even have his own word. He's getting the word from somebody else. And here's the thing, is you can take somebody else's word that worked when they spoke it, but without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it won't work when you speak it. You can write somebody's sermon down word for word. You can get it all down and try to bring it just like they brought it. But without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit giving you that word, it won't work. God's not called us to get our words from someone else. That does not mean that we don't learn and receive and get instruction. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about taking somebody else's word because of what God gave them and how it worked and thinking, I can take your word and I'm going to use it just like you used it and get the same results. No. There, you have to factor in the anointing. You have to factor in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So we shouldn't be getting our words from our neighbors. Verse 31, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues, their mouth, their language, and say, he saith. But God said, I didn't say it, you said it. But you said it, and I said it. But that's what Jezebel did. She wrote a letter and said Ahab said it. Ahab didn't say it. She used his name. And we don't want to be guilty of saying something that the Lord said that we know very well he didn't say. We're just using his name because his name has authority and his name has influence, but we're using it for our agenda. Church, that's a dangerous thing. And God's not called us to use the name of Jesus and to manipulate the one who is truth in a way that's not true. Amen. All right, verse number 32, last verse here in this text. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Which means when someone uses the word or the name of the Lord for their own agenda, it won't work. It won't profit the people. It won't profit the people. The people will not have a testimony of how the Lord removed burdens and destroyed yokes through that person because the only person that profited was the one that did the manipulation. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring themselves swift destruction. So God's warned us in his word. Now let's go to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Now manipulation certainly applies to more than just prophets. We are warned in scripture. Jesus warned us in scripture. A lot of people have been hurt in church. A lot of people have been hurt by preachers. And God's word gives us warning. And there's no doubt in my mind, I've been in church since I was 17, that manipulation takes place in the kingdom of God, but it shouldn't. It shouldn't. It does, but it shouldn't. Amen. So that just had to be addressed. Now, let's go to Judges 14 and look at a real practical example of manipulating. Of manipulating. This is one I think we're going to be able to all relate to. Judges chapter 14, when you get there, say amen. You know, when our objective is honorable, it doesn't need dishonorable methods for it to work. I'm going to say that again. When our objective is honorable, it doesn't need dishonorable methods for it to work. So in other words, if the destination is honorable, if where I'm going is honorable, the journey will not be dishonorable. Are y'all hearing me? So I'm because there's two ways I want us to see this. So I'm going to repeat it. If where I'm going, if this thing I'm after, if it's honorable, I don't have to go at it a dishonorable way. So there's this good cause, right? There's this awesome cause. And you say, man, this cause is so important, it's worth stealing to achieve it. No. Honorable destinations will never require dishonorable journeys. All right, now watch this. Watch the flip side of this. You cannot go to a place that's dishonorable through an honorable path. So if the objective is dishonorable, there's no honorable way to it. Oh, this is going to be heavy. Let's read the text. Judges chapter 14, you there, say amen. Verse 12. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And so he puts forth the riddle. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband. Uh-oh. Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle. Go trick your husband for us. Go manipulate your husband for us. Everybody see it? Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle. That's manipulation. Lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. That's intimidation. So now we're seeing in the same verse the method of intimidation for the motive of manipulation. So I need you to manipulate your husband, and I'm going to intimidate you to do what I tell you to do. See how the control is working? They, the Philistines, are using intimidation to control Samson's wife in order for Samson's wife to use manipulation to control Samson. Does this sound like anybody's family you know? See, this is real life dramas all in the Bible. Stuff we deal with every day. So here's intimidation and here's manipulation being used. And so they said, hey, go trick your husband, entice your husband, get us this information. Verse 16. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and love me not. Uh-oh. She went to her husband and said, you hate me. You hate me. You don't even love me. Is it because she felt unloved? Is it because he did anything to show that he hated her? No, not at all. Because if your spouse is acting in such a way that you feel unloved or hated, then that might be worth the conversation. Do you love me? I feel unloved because of ABC. Do you hate me? I feel that way because of ABC. But there's no groundwork here for this conversation. This is solely based on information he has that she wants, so she's manipulating him with the love game. If you love me, why are y'all so quiet? Ain't nobody here doing this. So notice now, imagine you have a dating couple that are dating, and you know, one for certain is saved and walking with God. It could be either way. And this person comes and says, hey, I want you to sleep with me. And they say, no, you know, that my faith, you know, Jesus has called me to walk in purity, and I'm not going to sleep with you because we're not married. And then they say, but I thought you loved me. Why are y'all so quiet again? Y'all making me nervous. So now if you love me, do this. If you love me, do this. Now, if you've been put in that situation, let me give you a comeback line. You say back to them, well, if you loved me, you wouldn't ask me to sin against my God. If you loved me, you wouldn't ask me to violate the convictions that are in my heart. You know I love the Lord. You know I want to walk in line with his word. You know I want my life to bring him glory. You know I want to wait till I'm married. And so by you trying to manipulate me into getting in bed with you tells me you actually don't love me. You might love my body, but you don't love my mind. You don't love my spirit. You don't love my soul. You don't love my convictions. You just want to use me for your own self-fulfillment, and now you're going to try to manipulate me into doing it, talking about if I loved you, I would do it. You know what? You've shown me enough. This relationship is over. I don't know who needed that word today, but there you go. See, we can't be manipulated and think we're going to have healthy relationships. You can't be in a relationship that is based on intimidation and manipulation, and that's all the basis of it. You haven't liked that guy since day one. And since day one, you're like, I don't belong with him, I don't belong with him, I don't belong with him. And every time you go to bring up how you're going to break up, he tells you he can't live without you, and he was already thinking about killing himself. So what's happening now is that fear that you could be responsible for his life is holding you in a relationship that you don't want to be in. This is a classic case of intimidation and manipulation being used to control you. Now, I'm not trying to be insensitive to any person that is thinking about taking their life, but it is not my responsibility to give you everything you want under the threat of you would kill yourself unless I become your personal slave. That is not who God has called me to be. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. If someone really loves you, they will not use fear to control you. Oh boy, okay. Listen, this may not be anything we're gonna hop a pew over. We may not be shouting and we may not be hopping pews, but we're gonna take home something we can use. This affects our lives. And there are many people right now in friendships and in relationships that are based on nothing more than intimidation and manipulation. And you can't be healthy that way. Come on, if you're gonna be our friend and sit at our lunch table, you gotta do this. Well, you can sit at your lunch table by yourself. Unless you do it this way, you're gonna be out of employment, and they ask you to do something that's dishonorable. Well, just remember, you were looking for a job when you found that one, and your heavenly Father knows your needs, and He has a way of blessing you, and you don't ever have to step into these dishonorable methods where people are using intimidation and manipulation to control you. Amen. So let me finish this word here. So she goes and she says, hold on a minute, time out. This is why if you ain't ready to live for Jesus, you're not ready for the Word of God. The Word of God will expose everything we could ever begin to imagine. And if you don't want to be exposed, you will run from the light of this Word. Man, it'll just cast light all in these little dark corners of our heart. And that's why we can't be no coochie coochie coo Christians. Now, I know you want to run out with a coochie coochie coo Christian. A coochie coochie coo Christian goes to church and he wants the preacher to say everything that's just sweet and kind and just, oh, do you love the Lord? Okay, I do too. Let's close in prayer. No. I need to be dealt with. I need His Word to get in my heart and drive this mess out of my life. I can't be a disciple when there's no discipline. And Jesus said only the disciple would be made free. And I'm tired of being under the control of the enemy. And I'm tired of people controlling everything about my life. When Jesus said, whom He sets free is free indeed, that He would make me free. No, I want that freedom. I want that freedom to love. I want that freedom to live. I want that freedom that God has called me to live in. And I can't do it when I'm in bondage to everybody in my life. In bondage to my friends that aren't even really my friends. In bondage to relationships. In bondage to my past, in bondage to money. No, I want to be free. And the only way to get free is you got to find God's pathway to freedom. And the pathway to freedom is in His Word. And I'm telling you right now, freedom will not just be granted over for the sake of it. No, Dr. King taught us that as long as one can oppress, they will oppress. We have to choose. You might be an oppressor, but you're not going to oppress me. My days of being oppressed are over. Jesus has called me to walk in freedom. I'm going to get in His Word and let the light of His Word shine every area of my life and your life too, so that I can walk in the light and be free. You have to be intentional about this. And I just went on a rant. Spit on my only black suit. Kind of charcoal. Everybody good? All right, back to the verse. I need to finish this verse. So they said, entice your husband. And what'd she do? Well, you must hate me. Oh, you don't love me. Because you have put forth a riddle. I'm in verse 16. You have put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, but you didn't tell me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her. And that's why they put toys and candy right by the checkout. So your children can see it and cry until you get it. We learn from a child, throw a tantrum, cry false tears, and get what you want. Not me, though. My mom put my little tail in order right quick. She said, boy, you better get up off that floor. I'm going to put these Frosted Flakes in this buggy back on the shelf, and you're going to go home without cereal. All of a sudden, man, I wouldn't go without Tony the Tiger. Man, I got up, cleaned out the room. I'm all right. I'm good. because they were great. My mom would try to be nice at the beginning. She'd say, I don't have no money for that. And I'd say, well, write a check. I believe we learn from a child how to manipulate people. That's what David said. David said, I came out of the womb speaking lies. That even a baby could manipulate me, and once that baby figures out if he screams long enough, he's going to get what he wants. So here's a full-grown woman talking to Samson. Her husband said, you don't love me, you hate me, but there's nothing in her heart that's honorable. This is just a method of manipulating so she can get information for the Philistines. It's not genuine. It's not pure. But that's not the way God's called us to live. In closing, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And here's what he says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's going to be the word we're going to close on in Matthew 10, 16. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. What does that mean? That means I'm watching, I'm listening, and I'm paying attention. I'm going to be wise as a serpent. You ain't going to get over on me too quick. But in the process, I'm going to be just as harmless as a dove. And I ain't going to bite your hand, and I ain't going to snap at you, but I'm paying attention. You ain't going to get me that easy. Amen? Amen. Listen, life can be hard. And you know, we have to deal with it. Everybody's drama and people that have no control over their own life, who want to control ours, and we feel like our life could be better if we could just control everybody. We got to get over this. Your life's not going to be better if you could control your spouse. Boy, I'm real quiet on that one, man. I didn't know we had a mouse. We think that, though. If I could get control of other people, man, my life would be so much better. No, it won't. Listen, the all-knowing, all-wise God has chosen not to control everybody. And he could. So if the all-wise, all-knowing God said, you know what, I'm not going to control people, then maybe we learn from him and say, you know what, I can't control people, but I won't be controlled of people, and I won't be controlling. Amen. Now let's bow our heads for prayer, and I want you to ask yourself a sincere question. Are you controlling? Are you controlling? Think about that for a minute. What would you do in order to control those around you to get your way? When there's no true honor, there's no true influence, there's no true authority for you to have any power over this person's life, so therefore you resort to manipulation and intimidation. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just shine the light of your word in our heart. And if we are control freaks, if we are people that just have to control our friends and control our family and our spouses and everybody around us, just show that to us, God. And show us, Father, the importance of being free from people. And we can't expect to walk free of people when we're working to bring people into our control. We ask for health in our relationships, healthy friendships, healthy marriages, healthy homes, healthy churches. In Jesus' name. All right, I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I've seen in your word today the power of manipulation. The reality that everyone is not who they appear to be. So I ask you for discernment, that I would be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And if I have used controlling tactics to my own benefit, I ask forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, that I could live for you. So I ask forgiveness of my sins, that you would cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Fill me with the power of your Spirit. May I walk in harmony with your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, holding the word of truth. In Jesus' name.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.